Luke chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Then John chapter 20, please. John chapter 20 and verse 10. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord. And I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Hold me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hand and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, it was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. We've read of several people here in these passages that we've read. Scott was mentioning this morning that as we look around us, surely we all believe that the coming of the Lord must be very near. I'm only going to be 45 this year. Getting older. You are too. Scripture speaks if you live 70 years, you've had a life. And if we live 70 years, half of that's 35. And I doubt if many of you 35-year-olds here tonight think you're at middle age already. But that's what the Bible teaches. We hear more and more troubles, don't we? We hear of believers with cancer. We hear of believers getting divorced. I hear of young ladies who are believers getting pregnant by fellows in the meetings. It bothers my heart, does it bother yours? And if it bothers our heart, surely it must bother the heart of the Lord Jesus. We've read of four different problems tonight. And you know what? Every one of the problems was solved with the same answer. Every one of them. We hear a lot about we need self-esteem today, and we hear this from Christian psychologists too. I don't read anywhere in my Bible about self-esteem. What I read is Christ's esteem, to esteem him highly. The Lord Jesus is what we need. We find someone who is tremendously grief-stricken. We find Mary in the garden. We find those that were afraid. We find the disciples in the upper room. We find the doubting. We find Thomas, who didn't really believe the Lord had risen. And we find those who are backsliding. We find those men going back fishing. And every one of them had the same answer given to them that just turned them around and solved the problems that they had. There's something that's always very frustrating about speaking and preaching the Word of God, and that is that I can't do it. And you can't either. We read about Simeon, didn't we? Remember what it said? It said that the Spirit of the Lord came to Simeon and told him that he was not going to die until he had seen the Lord Christ. Isn't that right? Well, who was it that revealed the Lord Jesus to him? Wasn't it the Spirit of God? We read that, didn't we? And the wonderful thing is, it's the Spirit of God that reveals the Word of God. As much as I may try to preach the gospel to you tonight, I cannot win a single soul, and neither can you. There's only one who can open blind eyes, and that's the Spirit of God using the Word of God. And that's a very frustrating thing when you realize it's not you. Remember that. All we can do is give the Word of God and pray that the Lord by His Spirit will open their eyes. Satan hath blinded the eyes of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. They should see. We all need the Spirit of God to be at work. Mary stayed behind. We read that all the disciples went home. Sometimes we're too quick to go home, aren't we? To our own homes. Mary stood behind and she was weeping. They've taken away my Lord. And I don't know where they have laid him. 7 devils. Mary was possessed by 7 demons. How many here are possessed by 7 demons tonight? I hope none of us. But Mary was possessed by 7 demons, and the Lord cast them out of her. And she was so thankful. She wanted to see the Lord, the one who loved her, the one who died for her. And she was there weeping. We read that she looked and she saw the angels, didn't they? And they asked her the same question that the Lord asked her. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And the very next verse says, When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. But she didn't know who it was. Yet. She didn't know who it was yet. And the Lord said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Why did God put tear ducts in our eyes? Why did He do that? Why do any of us weep? Don't we weep over the same things, really? Just a 3-letter word of sin? Comes down to it, it's all sin. If I weep over someone that's dying, they're dying because of sin. If I weep about a believer that's departed from the Lord, it's the same thing, isn't it? Sin that's caused it. Why weepest thou? The Lord made a promise, though. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. I may be weeping later tonight, and you might be too. But the Lord could come this very night or in the morning, and that weeping will be turned into joy. Why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Now that's interesting, isn't it? Do you remember who was seeking men in a garden before? It wasn't man seeking God out, he was hiding. But it was the Lord Jesus searching for man. And what an interesting contrast that Mary here in the garden was searching for the Lord. He has so ravished her heart with His love that she sought Him. And the Scripture promises if we seek Him, we will find Him. Because the Lord is not very far from every one of us, Paul says. He's very near to each one of us. Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if you've borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. Immediately, there's a transformation in this woman. She heard her name. I know that voice. That is my master. And we read that the Lord said to her, Don't hold me. So you can just picture how quickly this transition was made, that this woman who was standing there weeping just reached out and grabbed the Lord Jesus and held him. So they may have taken him away before, but they're not going to take you away from me this time. I'm going to hold on to you. You're not going to leave me. The Lord said, don't hold me. But I've not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Go tell my brethren that. What was the transition? What made the change? This woman who was crying into a woman that was full of joy. Just this. The Lord Jesus revealed himself to her. Just that. That's all. The Lord making himself known to this woman changed her. Mary Magdalene told us, came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now that says it very nonchalantly. I bet you Mary ran there and told him, her heart full of joy that she had seen the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to have the Lord reveal himself to us when we're crying, when we're grief-stricken. The Lord comes to us in a very special way. Those of us who've lost loved ones know this, don't we? Somehow the Lord comforts us in a way that we know. We sense his presence there in a special way. And he changes that sorrow into joy. Mary knew that it was the Lord. The grief-stricken, the fearful, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. These men were frightened men. We live in a country today that we don't have to be scared so much to be a believer in the Lord Jesus. But these men that were known to travel with the Lord were scared to death that their lives were going to be taken because they had walked with him and they had known him. If you don't believe that, why do you think Peter denied the Lord? Peter was plain scared. And I wonder if we had a gun to our heads tonight, like some do in the world, say, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? If we would be willing to admit that, that we will trust him no matter what happens. They were afraid. The doors were shut. They were assembled there for fear of the Jews. And then the Lord Jesus came to them. And he said, peace be unto you. Peace? You have got to be kidding, Lord. No peace be unto you. And I'm sure those disciples' hearts were changed in a moment of time. From hearts of fear to hearts of courage. Because they knew that the Lord had risen from the dead. And he was alive again. Never to die again. He came and stood in their midst and said, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. It's me. It's me. Look. The very one that was crucified. I'm alive again. I wonder what those men thought. I wonder what Peter and James and John thought. When they saw revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration that day, the Lord revealing himself to them in all of his glory. We read those words casually, but to look at a face that was shining above the brightness of the sun. To look at garments that the light was just beaming off of. To hear a voice from heaven say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And not to see any other man save Jesus only. What must those men have thought when they looked at the cross of Calvary and saw the same face that they had seen the sun shining from, beaten beyond the recognition of a man? What must they have thought as they looked at those hands nailed to the cross that they had seen do nothing but good as he walked upon earth and his feet nailed, his side that John had laid upon, listened to the very heartbeat of the Son of God, saw a spear in his side. What must those men have thought at the contrast between the Lord of glory and the Lord Jesus hanging on a criminal's cross? You could just hear him say what Paul said. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. The Lord of glory died for me. He died for you. He loves us. And he demonstrated in an unmistakable way at the cross. These men were afraid. The Lord Jesus. We heard this morning in the morning, we thought it had been he that would have redeemed Israel. Those men must have thought that. We thought it was a Messiah, but he's dead. And their heart, how it must have been transformed at that very moment. From what? From what? The same thing that transformed Mary. Just the Lord Jesus, in a moment of time, revealing himself to them. That's something. And you know, that's what we need today. We need to see the Lord Jesus. But we can't do it by our own searching. Can you, by your own searching, find out God in Scripture? The only way you know anybody, even me, is if I choose to reveal myself to you. Or you choose to reveal yourself to me. And the only way we ever know the Lord Jesus is if he reveals himself to us. And he has been revealed through his word. But we can get to know him in a much deeper way as we ask him by his Spirit to show himself to us. Peace be unto you. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You mean in a split second like that, those men that were afraid, no longer afraid. They were now glad because they had seen the Lord. He revealed himself to them. These are all momentary sightings of the Lord Jesus. But it's a lifetime endeavor, isn't it? The very definition of eternal life that the Lord Jesus gives in John 17. The reason that he's given to us eternal life is that we might know him, the only true God in Jesus Christ, who now sent. It's going to take forever for the Lord to reveal himself to us. That's a wonderful thing to think about. It will take forever. Thomas wasn't there. It's a good lesson for us in that we know that we need to be here. The Lord promises, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He promises to reveal himself in a special way to those who have gathered in his name. It's interesting in Scripture, as you look at two people traveling together, where two, and then all of a sudden there was three, where two or three are gathered together. It's the Lord, who was a third person, who drew near to them. How many times that happens in Scripture. The doubting. I would venture to say that all of us in life, especially when we're going through difficult times, we doubt the Lord, don't we? That's why Solomon said, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not to lean to your own understanding. Not to do that. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he promises to direct our paths. But I venture to say all of us have doubted the Lord at times. We look down at Thomas, but I've doubted the Lord at times, haven't you? But oh, the Lord means what he says. He loves us with an everlasting love, and he never says anything to hurt us, but only to reassure us of his love for us. Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said, unless I see the nail prints, and I put my finger, those nail, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Who heard those words? All we read is the disciples heard those words. But someone else heard those words spoken. Because 8 days later, it says the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And then he turned to Thomas. He said, Thomas, you reach hither thy finger. Isn't that wonderful? 8 days before, the Lord heard what Thomas said to his brother. And he said, I'm going there. and I'm going to reveal myself to Thomas so that he won't be a doubting Thomas anymore, that he'll believe. Does it say that Thomas did it? Does it say that he reached his finger in or thrust his hand in? I believe this, that Thomas, when he heard those words from the Lord Jesus, he knew that a week before the Lord had heard what he had said. And when he heard it, he bowed down right there and he said, "My Lord and my God." The Lord Jesus revealed himself in a very special way to Thomas. Remember Nathanael, don't we? When the Lord called him, "I saw you when you were under the tree." And the minute Nathanael heard those words, we don't know what was going on there, but the Lord said, "When I saw you there," Nathanael said, "I believe you're who you say you are. You are the Master." Thomas believed. The doubting turned to the believing. What's changed it? Just the Lord Jesus revealed himself to him. We sang a hymn tonight that Fanny Crosby wrote. She was blind. But she said, "I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands." I don't know about you. There's one face I want to see. There's one pair of hands I want to see. There's two feet I want to see. And a wounded side is the Lord Jesus. I was thinking a few weeks ago about Christmas. What should I get my wife for Christmas? What can I get my children for Christmas? I realized there was absolutely nothing I could get for them or give to them that would satisfy their heart. You know that? And you can't either. There is only one who can fill the longing of my heart and the longing of your heart. And it's the Lord Jesus himself. That's it. When this world is gone, and Scott spoke about that this morning, in just a moment of time, this world is going to be gone. And only one thing can remain is the Lord himself. His word is going to remain. We will know. Remember the hymn writer said, "I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord. I've tried it all." Solomon said it. "I've tried it all. It's all vanity. It's all vexation. I try the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters fail." And young people, you can do everything an MTV's telling you. You can do everything your friends are telling you. All of it. And you know how much of it's going to satisfy your heart? I can tell you right now, none of it is going to satisfy your heart. There's only one who can satisfy your heart, and it's the Lord Jesus. It's the only one who can satisfy my heart. He's the only one to satisfy any of our hearts. A doubting Thomas. His deepest emotion came out and said, "My Lord and my God. This is my Lord and this is my God." He's alive again. And what about the backslidden Christian? We read about some disciples and Peter's let it off, didn't he? He says, "I'm going fishing." Well, I seem to recall the Lord kind of met them there, didn't he? And he said, "Hey, you fellas, I want you to leave your parents. I want you to leave everything you do, your work, and follow me. I will make you fishers of men." And here, after they had seen the Lord, they go back fishing. Why did they go back fishing? I don't know the answer to that, but I believe this portion tells us. Because the Lord asked him a question. He said, "Children, do you have any meat?" And they said, "No, we don't have any meat." And I think that might be the reason. They were just hungry. And they went back to what they had known before to get some fish. We go a-fishing. And the other disciples joined in and said, "We're going to go with you." And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. These were not fishermen like you and me. These men knew how to fish. This was their life's work. And they caught absolutely nothing. When the Lord calls us, and we don't listen to him, and we go do what we want to do, you know how much success you're going to have? The same amount that they had. You're not going to get anything. We have to obey the Lord Jesus. They caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. I'll never forget Phil Morgan's comment on this. He said, Not on the wrong side, but on the right side of the ship. Cast it on the right side. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. You can hear him saying, Listen, we've been doing this all night. We know what we're doing. We're not going to cast the net on the other side. But the Lord said, Cast on the right side, and they did it. And they were not able to draw the net in for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. And Peter girded his coat on, and they went into land, dragging this net of fishes. Isn't it interesting to notice in the next verses? When they came to land, they saw a fire going. And they saw fishes there, didn't they? If they had just waited a little longer, rather than going back to fishing, if they had waited just a little longer, they would have found out that the Lord Jesus himself had made them a meal for them to eat. The lovely thing about this passage is the Lord doesn't drive our sin home to us all. He does sometimes, depending on our rebellion to him. But he says to them, Bring of the fish which ye have caught. We're going to cook some of them too and enjoy this. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. Someday, dear saint, we're going to hear those words from the Lord Jesus. Just those words. Come and dine. And the most wonderful thing about it, you know who's going to be serving the meal? The Master. It's hard to believe, isn't it? That sinners like you and me, that someday we're in the presence of the Lord Jesus, he says, Come and dine with me. He's going to be the one serving the meal to us. You know, I can think of a million reasons tonight why to love the Lord Jesus. But I can't think of one reason why he really loves me. Can you? Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Remember with that Pharisee Simon? He said within himself, within his heart, If this man knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't have anything to do with her. You know, if you all here tonight knew what kind of man Keith Van Ryn is, you wouldn't have a thing to do with me. But the glorious thing is that the Lord, who knows me best, all my downfall, my sin, he loves me the most. And he loves you the most, too. Even though he knows everything about us, he loves us. What was it that turned backsliding disciples into those that would go forth and serve him? You know what? We never read again that the disciples went what? Fishing. Not for these kind of fish anyway. They did obey the Lord after this, and they went and became fishers of men. What changed them? One thing. Just the Lord Jesus revealing himself to them. What do we need to pray for one another? We know about believers that have fallen into sin, don't we? We've heard of more of the stuff in Atlanta than I ever want to hear in a lifetime, to be frank with you. What's the most that I can do for them? Or for you? Or you for me? All we can do is pray, really, and ask the Lord Jesus to reveal himself to them. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. There's one thing that's going to happen someday, and it's going to make every problem that we've had here on earth seem like nothing. Paul says, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more eternal, exceeding weight of glory. I'm going to see the Lord Jesus someday. Are you? And every problem that you've had or I've had is going to seem so minuscule in that one moment. That one moment of time when I looked upon the Lord Jesus. John wrote about it. Peter wrote about it. We read about Thomas. But the Lord told him, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Peter addresses that. That whom having not seen, we love. And though now we don't see him, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't it wonderful, brothers and sisters, how the Lord reveals himself to you? Day by day, as we meditate on his word, and we ask him by his spirit to reveal himself to us, he does, and he will. I remember Jamie Hull saying some years back that when he was a young boy, his mother, the first verse she taught him as a kid was, thou God seest me. And the idea was behind it. You just remember, Jamie, whatever you do, God knows about it. And he said he always could see God like over his shoulder, like, uh-oh, am I going to get it now? You know? And years later, he was in an older widow's home, and he saw that text on the wall. And he asked the sister, he said, why do you have that verse on the wall? That was not one of my favorite verses. And all she said to him, she said, Jamie, you've got it all wrong. He said, you see, the Lord loves us so much, he just can't take his eye off of us. Which version do you like better? I know which one I like better. We pray for you all up in Atlanta, and we hope you pray for us too. There's never been a day like today when we need to pray for one another as children of God. Satan's on the attack. The world's on the attack. And all of us just simply need to gather together and get a fresh view of the Lord Jesus. May he help us to love him more as we see the day approaching. May we pray. Our Father, we do thank thee for thy beloved Son. Lord Jesus, we thank thee tonight for ever revealing to our hearts that we were just guilty, lost, hopeless, hell-deserving sinners. But we thank thee that thou hast also shown us that thou art a God of love who has given the gift that was so expensive, Father, to thee, and the gift of thy Son. And Lord Jesus, we think of what it cost thee to go to Calvary, of the shame that men heaped upon thee there, the shame that we deserved, the mocking, the scorn of it all, and bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned thou to stand. Seal my pardon with thy blood. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, what a Savior. We thank thee tonight for all that thou hast done for us, for the love that thou dost have for each of thine own, for those that are lost, Lord. And remember, we've heard to Dale Ray that God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. We just pray thou bless thy word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.